Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
One of the best hit collectors in baseball, Stephen Kwan coming up as the last hope. 2-2, puts it in play, left side, going to be a tough one. This game is tied. The American League has come all the way back from down 6-0 with a pair of runs here in the ninth. They've tied it at 6.
He gets the third run right here.
AL rallied in the game. NL has rallied in the swing. Oh! National League takes the lead 4-3.
Unbelievable.
Aranda slices a fly ball to left center field, headed towards the wall, but short, and the National League wins it in the first swing off.
Time now for the Christian Arcand Show.
Yo, it's all Arcand.
On WEEI.
Good evening, welcome in. It is the Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. We're live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original. Nice to have you with us here tonight on a Wednesday, the 16th of July, 2025. And we got a big show tonight. No games, nothing. There's WNBA, and we'll talk WNBA today. Not entirely, but they Caitlin Clark show was in Boston last night. We will get into that a little bit at 6:30 with the 6:30 headlines. We have some Bill Belichick fresh sound. Well, it's not really sound, but fresh quotes responding to what Robert Kraft, what I thought was very complimentary from Robert Kraft. Clearly, Bill Belichick did not take it the same way. And you can tell from these comments that were shot back over in the direction of Patriot Place via Don Van Natta, which I think we all know who has given Don Van Natta and Wickersham and all those people all their scoops now, right? Didn't always go his way. They were always very easy to find quotes and sources from the other side of those things, but I think it's pretty obvious right now.
Who's this guy named Il Elichek?
Yeah, we'll get to that at 6:30. ESPN was talking about Drake May yesterday. We have those Jaylen Brown comments to get to as well. And a lot of nightly news stuff. Some new Karen Reed news is out there. In fact, we haven't talked about Karen Reed since the verdict, so we'll have some updates there. Lots has happened since that verdict, with the Mass State Police and otherwise. So we'll get to that at 8:30. And, of course, we have the Arcand Fire at 9. We will have dongs tonight. We were thinking about trying to have dongs last night, but there were no dongs hit by the time we went off the air. And then all sorts of dongs were hit right after I left here and got home. In the game, in the swing off, a.k.a. the dong off, which was electric.
That we were robbed of that dong off from the home run derby.
We absolutely
because they had
were.
To like go to the inches
right.
mark or centimeters.
And listen, I'm not one to say I'm not one to put down a good old fashioned dong measuring contest. All right, that is not what I'm here to do. But if you watched that thing last night, I was trying to think of moments that it reminded me of, and you know, like there was T.J. Oshie in the Olympics. Remember in that shootout at the end. And it wasn't quite that. Like, that was playing for your country. That was the whole thing. This is an exhibition game in the middle of the season. But it had that same kind of drama. It had that same kind of, oh, boy, there's another one by Schwarber. When he hit those three home runs, that was awesome. That was awesome. And, yeah. Oh, by the way, I meant to say this during the crossover. The reason why Kyle Schwarber's not here anymore, I don't even want to say this. It's depressing to even say. The reason why Kyle Schwarber's not here anymore is Tristan Cassis. That's the reason why they got rid of, why they moved on from Schwarber. He was blocking Tristan Cassis. That's the reason. Isn't that just upsetting?
Though? I mean, there were a couple of routes that Schwarber could have gone that didn't have to be first base.
No.
They could have made room for him.
They weren't going to. You know, like, it just that was the reason. He was their first baseman, and they had a first baseman. We can't keep this guy. What, are we going to give him a big contract? No. We're all set at first base. We got the first baseman of the future, and that's what they did. And that's the way it went. Sorry. I mean, that's why he's not a Red Sox anymore. Either way. Take that for what it's worth. Schwarber has been tremendous for the Philadelphia Phillies. He was tremendous last night in that All-Star game. And that format at the end, that should be the home run derby. I mean, there's no question about it. That was fun. Watching them go swing for swing, knowing that there wasn't a clock, knowing that they didn't have to hurry up and get ready for the next one. Like, you know, it's just that's what it should be. That's what the home run derby should be. It should be guys up there with a certain amount of swings, no clock. I know there's a clock in actual baseball now, but this isn't actual baseball. This is the home run derby, okay? That's what it should look like. Other than that, good game. Very good game. You had a big comeback. It was like a Red Sox game. You had a team get down early, big comeback. Brent Rooker with that big home run, that big three-run jack there late in the game in the seventh. Aroldis Chapman with a nice inning there. I thought that was a good game. That was a good product last night. Much, much better than the Derby. The Derby was a good, you know, home run show, but it was just shot so badly and the broadcast was so bad that it took a lot away from it. I thought everything about last night was pretty good.
It kind of felt like sort of a nostalgic kind of thing where you remember the past couple of years they were all in one uniform, but
right.
It was back to that old school of tradition where the AL wore the away jerseys, the NL wore the home jerseys, only modifications came on the cap, and it was a good close game, as you said. It kind of did feel nostalgic.
Can I tell you that jersey thing made such a big difference? Oh, did that make such a big difference watching that game, watching the All-Star game? And here's the guy from the Red Sox, and here's a guy from the Yankees, and here's the guy from the Dodgers, and they're wearing their uniforms. Instead of some crappy, poorly designed, cash-grab, bullcrap jersey that they're just trying to sell to kids, no one buys anyway. When does anyone ever buy, like, an All-Star jersey? You know, I never see anybody wearing those. It's just they're not, you know, here's a new one this year. It's like Madden or The Show, you know, one of the video games. You got to buy this one because it's this year's version of it. Like, no, just go back to the uniforms. That's what it should look like. And that's what the NBA should do that too, by the way.
My biggest problem when it comes to this All-Star stuff is like overthinking stuff. Like the simplest of things makes so much of a difference.
Yeah, it really does. And it being a good game. The nostalgia I really liked. I liked that Hank Aaron thing. I went back and watched that Hank Aaron. That was awesome.
That was maybe the best thing baseball's done the past year.
That was a tremendous tribute to him. I thought Ludacris and Jermaine Dupri were very good, doing Welcome to Atlanta to open the show. I thought that was, all in all, a great night for baseball. I really did. I think that was a very, very good night for baseball. I think that may be the best All-Star anything of the year, right? The NBA All-Star game was terrible.
Do we count Four Nations, the Four Nations face-off?
I guess Four Nations is pretty good. But I don't know if
But specifically, All-Star, absolutely.
Because technically was the All-Star game.
Yeah, it blows the NBA and the Pro Bowl right out of the water.
Yeah, it does. And normally the NHL All-Star game, too, when it's not Four Nations. Because you're right, Four Nations is good. I was annoyed that Bruins lost Charlie McAvoy in the middle of that thing, and then he got all sick in the hospital. Like that all pissed me off. But, yeah, that was good drama for sure. But that also was something a little bit different from your – like, that wasn't the – all Leon Draisaitl wasn't playing. Like, you know what I mean? Unless you were from one of those four countries, you weren't playing. So that wasn't really an All-Star game. You know, like, that. I differentiate those a little bit. In terms of just the league and the All-Star game, that was the best one maybe in a few years.
what you saw last night with Major League Baseball. And I think that that's good. I mean, I was talking about this yesterday. Baseball, you know, this is going to upset the haters a lot, but baseball is doing better. Baseball is recovering. Baseball is now a sport on the rise. Is it a growth industry the way, you know, pickleball is or something? I'd say probably not, but it is definitely on the rise. It's definitely trending in the right direction. And I think that is a testament to a lot of different things.
Yay, baseball.
Yay, baseball, Rob Bradford. Mainly, it's a testament to Rob Bradford and his Baseball Isn't Boring campaign. Because prior to that, you know, I thought baseball was kind of boring. And then Bradford came along and said, no, you know, actually, it's not. And I said, you're right. You're right, Bradford. Damn you. But, yeah, that's...
Baseball isn't boring.
No, it is not. And that was not boring last night either. That was awesome. The end of that was awesome. You were glued to your screen if you were watching that. And then Junior Caminero came out and was dongless, which was unfortunate. I wanted to see that thing keep going. I wanted it to go all night. I wanted them to keep going back and forth all night. I just was like, this is awesome. This is great.
It was funny to see the jokes of like, oh, the AL had this great chance, and they don't send up Judge and Raleigh and Caminero.
Well, all those guys had gone home by then, right? Like, didn't they say Ohtani and Judge and everybody had already left? They've been there all week.
Something like that. But, of course, the joke is like, of course Aaron Boone fumbles the bag.
True. Very good point. And, yeah, you know, if you're going to have one of those, sort of like in, you know, in a hockey shootout, you want your best guys out there. You want your best shooters out there. They didn't have their best home run hitters up there. Rooker ended up, you know, he was in the Derby. He had a good showing in the Derby. He had a home run in the game, and he had two of them, right? He had two in the dong off. Very good week for Brent Rooker from a dong perspective. You got to admit that.
Too bad he's stuck in Sacramento.
That's a shame. Yeah, Cal Raleigh, of course, the Lord of the Dongs. As he is the leader in the entire league, and he also won the Derby, but also a very strong dong showing there from Brent Rooker as well, over in Sacramento with the Sacramento A's. A guy in Rooker who last year, I remember the Reds, there was talk about maybe going after Rooker. I don't think that's happening now, just because the outfield is all jammed up as it is. But yeah, good player, fun guy, like. Personality. I think you saw a lot of personality on display yesterday.
It's funny how when you look back on it, like maybe weeks or months later, like some guys who were in the All-Star game, you had no idea, turn out to be like guys you fall in love with. Like, yeah. I think Cal Raleigh boosted his image as if it wasn't already. Guys like Brent Rooker and just sort of those low-level guys who aren't the Aaron Judges and Shohei Ohtanis of the world.
Yeah. Aaron Judge is probably going to be the MVP of the league here unless Raleigh passes him. That's possible, I guess. You know, with Bobby Witt and Jeremy Pena and, you know, who knows? Maybe Sedan Rafaela keeps swinging his way into that conversation. But it's going to be a fun award season this year, too. There's a lot of good, fun, young talent in the league right now. And while there are household names, there's more that are sort of emerging, like Raleigh and some of these other guys. You're right. And that's good. That's all good news for baseball. It absolutely is. It's good news for baseball. As for the Boston Red Sox, the harsh reality of a second half is going to begin for them not today, not tomorrow, but Friday. And it is going to start right away. I mean, they are going to be right.
You're talking right away, Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon, that's right. 2 o'clock game, or a 2:20 game at Wrigley Field against Chicago. Colin Ray, who's 7-3, going up against Giolito, who's been pitching his ass off lately. And we are going to see if this Red Sox team can do what last year's Red Sox team could not do, and really every team of the last 4 years other than 2021 could not do, and that is keep it together in the second half. And it's not really the second half. It's like the last third of the season, just August and September. Can you keep it together down the stretch? Can you stay in the race? Can you stay in the hunt? Can you stay competitive? I don't think it's fair to expect the Red Sox to play the way they've been playing for the rest of the year. Okay, over these last 2 weeks, on this 10-game win streak, the way that they just power-bombed the Colorado Rockies and power-bombed the Nationals. And then, you know, it wasn't quite the same dismantling of the Tampa Bay Rays, but a sweep's a sweep. You know, I mean, they've been steamrolling everyone. They have not slowed down at all. And then you get this break. Then you get this all-star break, which was good for baseball, but was it good for the Red Sox? I'm worried it was not. I'm worried this was the worst possible time to have a break for the Red Sox. And I know, oh, RK, you're just being, you know, What are you worrying about? I'm worrying that this is a problem that goes deeper than just the guys on the field. I'm worried that this is a problem that the team doesn't know how to address completely. I can give them suggestions on how to address it. One big one, don't shy away at the deadline. Do not look at Bregman and Yoshida and maybe Tanner Houck as guys that you're going to be acquiring or have acquired, and that's basically like making a trade. No, I don't want to hear that. I think we all know what the holes in this team's roster are. We all know where they are. We don't need to go through them. We've been giving you names all week. Yesterday, Gordo and Sammy were in here throwing all sorts of names around of pitchers to trade for. And we can even do some more of that tonight. In fact, we will do some more of that tonight later on in the show. But the question I think that I'd really like to know is, has upper management, has the front office, have all of those people decided already that it's time to invest? Or are they still waiting to see? Are they waiting to see how these next nine game goes? Because I've got news for you here, Red Sox fans. If they're waiting to see how these next nine games go, then that means they're already leaning towards not spending. Just think about it. Why would they wait? What are you waiting for? It's nothing to wait for. You've won 10 straight. It's the All-Star break. You got 2 weeks, and then it's the trade deadline. Now is when you have to start making calls. Now is when you have to start gauging interest. Now is when, if you're trying to, you know, get something done here with the Padres, you get the Padres on the phone, and you start working out, all right, what do you want for Jaren Duran? What can we have? What are you willing to give up? All that stuff, you know, you start negotiating.
So I'll just point this out, that when they started the second half last year, the first series with the Dodgers, the record was 53-43. We mentioned
10 games
it.
Over 500.
10 games over 500.
They're not even that good right now. They're only 8 games over 500.
And then when they got to the deadline, which was during the Seattle series, they were 56-51, 57-51. So they had lost ground in what they were.
So they were 10 games over, and by the deadline, they were only 4 or 5 games over.
Yeah, so okay. they kind of declined, which could be a sign to Craig Breslow, or at least that time was, okay, maybe we can buy, but we don't have to make the big splash. Same thing could happen here. Red Sox could sort of get into that range where there's still only 8 games or whatever, or they get to maybe 5 games over 500, and Breslow takes the same path, unless, you know, he's actually truthful in what he's saying, that, like, he does want to invest in this team.
Mm-hmm. And you should want to invest in this team. If you are Craig Breslow, if you're John Henry, if you're, you know, Theo Epstein or anybody else, Sam Kennedy, that should not even be a question. At this point, that should not be a question. Yes, we're investing. Yes, we are going to be aggressive at the deadline. Yes, even if we have a couple of rough games here against Chicago and Philly and the Dodgers. And listen, I'm expecting them to. I'm expecting these nine games to not go great. All right? I don't think they're going to go 7-2. I don't think they're going to go 6-3. I think 5-4 would be great. Like, honestly, if they can stay above 500 through this thing, if they can go 5-4 and come out on the other side 58-49, picking up again, 9 games over 500, great. I'd consider that a major victory. If they go 4-5, fine. If they go 3-6, fine. If they go 2-7, 1-8, or 0-9, then okay. We can maybe have that conversation. But it has to be that bad. And it has to look, a lot of things are going to have to happen. Number one, in those 9 games, Sadon Rafaela cannot get a hit, okay? Because if he continues to hit, then I'm going to say that guy, you're investing in this team because of that guy. Romy Gonzalez, Abraham Toro, Rob Refsnyder, go around Alex Bregman, Carlos Narvaez. If any of those guys are still hitting, unless they all go in the tank at the same time, if any of them are still hitting, I want you to invest. Aroldis Chapman blows a couple of saves. Okay. And honestly, you know, you look at his stats the last 10 years. He's not had a year like this since 2016. He's not had anything close to this since 2016. So maybe that's a guy who's going to come back to earth a little bit too. The question is, does the team believe? And when I say the team, I don't mean the team in the clubhouse. I think they believe. Does John Henry believe? Does Sam Kennedy believe? Does Craig Breslow believe? I think he does. I think Craig Breslow right now is strutting around there feeling pretty good about himself, as he should. But it can all be taken away just like that. It's a thin line between people loving you and hating you, Craig.
Take that, mortal humans.
It's true. All right? You can't terminate your way through all of this if the big guy's not letting you spend. And if he's not letting you go out there and really go for it at the deadline, which I think they will do, and I think they should do. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will get to your Red Sox phone calls, and we'll have our 6:30 headlines coming up right after Joe Braverman and get you caught up on what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. Last night's All-Star Game in Major League Baseball for the first time ever ended in a swing-off with the National League prevailing over the American League by a final score of 7-6. Kyle Schwarber, who was named the game's MVP, hit three home runs in his three swings in that swing-off. The focus now shifts in the MLB to post-All-Star break. The Red Sox will face the Cubs in Wrigley Field for a three-game set starting Friday afternoon. In the NBA, the Phoenix Suns and All-Star guard Bradley Beal have agreed to a buyout. Once clearing waivers, Beal intends to sign a two-year, $11 million deal with the LA Clippers. That deal also includes a player option for next season. In related news, Celtics Summer League will resume tomorrow night against the Lakers. Tip-off is at 9 p.m. Bruins officially released their schedule for the 2025-26 season. Some notable matchups early on include the season opener, Wednesday, October 8th in D.C. against the Capitals. Their home opener will be the following night against the Blackhawks. And Brad Marchand makes his long-awaited return to TD Garden with the Florida Panthers on October 21st. The Revolution hit the road to face the New York Red Bulls tonight at 7:30. The Revs have gone 0-4-2 in their last six matches, while New York hasn't won in their last five outings. And the Open Championship from Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland tees off late tonight. First group goes out at 1:35 a.m. The current betting favorites are Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Jon Rahm. Stay cool this summer with the money you found at FindMassMoney.gov. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to FindMassMoney.gov today. It's a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
This is 630 Headlines.
All right, 630, time for some headlines. And we will go ahead and start with a big headline in Boston last night. No Red Sox games, but there was a game at TD Garden, and it was the Indiana Fever against the Connecticut Sun, who stink this year, by the way. Ugh. Connecticut Sun, they're 3-19, the Sun are. But that's not why people were there. No one was there to see the sun. They were there to see Caitlin Clark. And Caitlin Clark has been laboring through a groin injury basically all year. She missed 2 weeks in May with this injury. She's not played in a lot of games. Don't think she's even qualified for the scoring title right now. Did not have a good shooting night last night. 14 points on 4 of 14 shooting. Not a great showing for her. She's not had a great year. Again, fighting through these injuries. But the Caitlin Clark circus that accompanies every one of her games, no matter where she goes and what she does, is really, I think, I've been watching more WNBA games probably in the last 3 years since gambling got legalized than I ever had before. You know, and it wasn't because I don't like watching women play basketball. It's just it was in the summer. I was never, you know, I never really got that into it. There's no team in Boston. I just, you know, it wasn't all that intriguing. There were certain players, you know, who'd come out of college that I'd watch. I remember watching Taurasi and, you know, Sue Bird and, you know, some of those players and, you know, Lisa Leslie and, you know, Cheryl Miller. Although Miller was probably before my time. But you know what I mean? Like, that's, there was, in the past, there's been a lot of great women players. And they haven't gotten even nearly a shred of the attention that, that Caitlin Clark's getting. And Caitlin Clark deserves the attention that she's getting. She's a great player. But I just continue to be confounded by how shocked people are that in a competitive sports league, all the other players in the league are playing a little rough with Caitlin Clark. Like, they're out there fouling her hard, playing really tough, you know, double-teaming her, playing real dog defense on her, really going after her. And I just, I don't understand how people are so confused by this.
I mean, if you're asking me, I think the one word that comes to mind is jealousy. I think maybe those players are a little jealous. Like, the WNBA isn't just made up of Caitlin Clark. Like, sure. We factor into this, too.
Right. And I think also these women all know that if they're playing against Caitlin Clark's team, that means there's going to be hundreds of thousands, if not millions, more eyeballs on that game than there would have been if they were playing the Lynx or whatever. You know, it's just that's the way it is. You know, that's the when you have a superstar like this that is a big time, you know, polarizing figure like Clark is. And she hasn't done anything to be polarizing, really, aside from being a hothead who was yelling at the refs last night. That was another thing. She's yelling at that ref. And then the ref said something to her, and they had to, like, hold her back. And everyone's like, oh, what'd the ref say? Oh, I can't believe the ref was so unprofessional and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what other athlete do we do this with? Tom Brady, I guess? Like, you know, we did it with Brady for a while, but he won all these championships. He accomplished things. He earned that more than Caitlin Clark's earned any of this. Now, at the same time, you can say, well, she hasn't earned all this, you know, crap from the other players in the league. And I admit they're fouling her hard. But the histrionics, oh, my God, every time anyone lays a finger on her, here comes Dave Portnoy. Here comes all these people. Oh, Caitlin Clark, my God, I can't believe it. How come they're not? Don't they understand? Understand that she's the reason anyone's watching? And it's like, yeah, but they're still competing. They're still competing against her. Should they just lay down and let her go right to the basket? Should they not try and play tough defense on her? Here's the thing. The reason why teams are doing that is because it was working. It was working. You could get in her head. She's a bit of a hothead. You know, you start getting physical with her, that can throw her off her game. And the big thing was, no one was coming to her rescue. She did not have an enforcer on that team watching her back. You think when Wayne Gretzky was out there with the Oilers embarrassing everybody, there weren't guys on the other team trying to take his head off? You don't think they were fouling LeBron James really hard in his first couple of years, trying to send a message to him, Michael Jordan? You know what the bad boy Pistons did to Michael Jordan for the first 5 years of his career? He barely survived those series against Detroit. The Celtics, too. You took it inside against Bird, McHale, and Parrish? They destroyed you, okay? Like, this is sports. I understand people, like, they get very, and I know we're living in a day and age now where women's sports is in the forefront because of all these different political reasons, and I don't want to dive into any of that because I really have no interest in it. But I will say this. This is not that. This is just, okay, there's a very good player in the league. She's very young. She's very brash. People act like she just, you know, shuts her mouth and goes about her business. She's out there talking to everybody. Caitlin Clark's talking to everybody. She fouls people hard. It's a physical sport. The WNBA is physical. I know people only watch these Caitlin Clark games, but if you watch some of these other games, you're going to see hard fouls. You're going to see him all throughout the league. And if Clark comes out of this, she's not going to be a young player in the league forever. Eventually, she's going to be a veteran. Eventually, she's going to be leading, you know, her own team, and players are going to be looking up to her and all that, and it's going to be a whole different dynamic that shifts and changes, just like it does in every other league in the world. And I think people are going to look back on this and be like, oh, yeah, we were kind of acting like nanas about this whole Caitlin Clark thing, weren't we? And I'm not going to even dive into the reasons why people are doing that, because I have theories on it, but I'm not going to generalize. All right? But let's just say there's a lot of very good players in the league right now, better players than Caitlin Clark. Who are not getting this kind of extreme concern every time they get fouled. And it's just, it's pretty transparent. That's all. I did think that last night, though, some good momentum going towards potentially a WNBA team in Boston, including from Caitlin Clark's bodyguard, Sophie Cunningham, who said this.
I thought it was a lot of fun, to be honest. You know, there's so much history in this building, and I've gotten some heat from saying stuff about cities, but I like Boston, man. I really like Boston. Y'all need to get a team here. But I think just playing in the Garden, it's exciting. I think it's really cool to see all these fans come out, regardless of what city we're in. Kind of feels like a home game for us, but I don't know. I think we really enjoyed it, and we don't take these types of things for granted.
Okay. And then just to add to that, the governor of Massachusetts, Maura Healey, was on with Trenny on NBC Sports Boston, and she had this to say about a potential WNBA team coming to town.
What does it mean 2 years in a row now that we have a sold-out crowd at the TD Garden for a women's basketball game?
It means Boston should have a team. We're the best sports town in America, okay? I'll take that to the mat with anybody. I mean, the history here, the banners, the titles, the championships, and we love women's sports. Not only do we have professional soccer and football, we also have lacrosse and rugby, and we sure should have basketball. Why? Because we invented the game. This would be great for players. It'd be great for teams. It would be fantastic for the WNBA.
I agree with all of that. I agree with all of that. I think having a WNBA team here in Boston would be this is a strong market for it. I do. I think this would be a strong market for that. I think you would get fans at those games.
It's like the WNBA is missing that last big market city, and
kinda,
Boston
yeah.
is that, because they have New York, they have L.A., mm-hmm. Indiana's on the map, obviously, because of Caitlin Clark. You get a team in Boston, like, that puts them over the top, maybe.
Yeah. The towns that have them right now, Chicago, Dallas, all the big ones, L.A., New York, then you got your Phoenix, Minnesota, Seattle, Atlanta, Indiana, Washington. It's a Golden State team? When is there a Golden State team?
I think that was in the last year.
Okay,
so this actually might be the first year.
A Golden State team. The
Golden
State
Valkyries?
Well,
you know, they're ever
expanding. Chicago, Dallas, and then Connecticut Sun. And Connecticut representing sort of the tri-state, which you already have with New York, but also the only little piece of New England that they have in there either. So, yeah, there you go. I thought that was cool last night. I didn't watch all of it, but I did see Clark yelling at the ref. I thought that was pretty good. Also, there was a piece by Don Van Natta on ESPN today about Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. Now, you'll remember Robert Kraft on the Bros on Bros, Dudes Being Dudes. What's it called?
Dudes on Dudes.
Dudes on Dudes.
Edelman and Gronk.
I can never get it right. I really can't.
You can just say the Edelman and Gronk pod.
The Edelman and Gronk show. Yes, the Gronkleman show. You heard Robert Kraft say that the best decision he ever made was to trade a first-round pick for Bill Belichick and make him the coach and the GM and bring him in here and all of that. He also said it was a very risky move and that he took a ton of crap for it. But he also said it was the best move he ever made. So I was going on the other day about what a great compliment it was. It was a little bit of a backhanded compliment with all the risk stuff. But even with the risk, he did say it was the best thing I ever did. Well, Bill Belichick didn't take it as a compliment quite the way I did. In fact, he fired back pretty sharply at Robert Kraft, telling Don Van Natta, as I told Robert multiple times through the years, I took a big risk by taking the Patriots head coaching job, Belichick said. I already had an opportunity to be the head coach of the New York Jets, but the ownership situation was unstable. I had been warned by multiple previous Patriots coaches, as well as other members of other NFL organizations in the media, that the New England job was going to come with many internal obstacles. I made it clear that we would have to change the way the team was managed to regain the previously attained success. Okay, well, I guess that whole no hard feelings thing is actually there's very hard feelings. These are very hard feelings.
I do want you to take your victory lap because I remember when we played the clip, you were like, am I being crazy about reading into this? And I was like, no, you're fair. You're fair. I'm sure plenty of people would have pushed back being like, ah, it's a fanatics fest. It's nothing. But you were right.
I was right on top of it. I was right on top of it. And I didn't think that Bill would respond like this. But this is the Jordan Hudson era, Bill. But this is Bill and his Jordan
I'm saying, era. Do you have no idea who was coaching here for the past 20-something years?
Let me say, though, I think that this response, I would not be shocked if Jordan had a hand in this response. If she had a hand in crafting this response. I really wouldn't be surprised by that. She is very good at tapping into Bill's inner catty bitch. You know what I mean? Like she's definitely able to like get that part of his personality out on display a little bit more, maybe than Linda or, you know, whoever else in the past. She's good at reaching that. And I'm here for it, that's for sure. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Before we move on, let's take some phone calls here. John is in the car. He has a thought on the WNBA and Caitlin Clark. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Darkin?
What's up, John?
You know, I was thinking, I was kind of keeping an eye on that game last night. It was like, oh, why aren't they beating the Sun? And don't the Sun, like, kind of suck?
Yes.
And, like, yeah, it was a tight game for a while. And then I'm looking at, like, Clark's stats, and it's like, how come she isn't shooting very well? Like, and she's been chucking threes. Like, is she trying to do a tribute to, like, Joe Mazzulla? And then, you know, I look at, like, her overall stats for the year, and it's like, oh, she's second in assists, but, like, that's it. And she's not really that great at shooting this year. Like, I wonder why people only think she's, like, the ninth best player in the NBA. Like, huh. Oh, it's because she's really not that great yet and hasn't won anything outside of, like, an in-season tournament. So, yeah, I know. I was a little – I keep, like Ted Johnson yesterday, it sounded like he wanted to give, like, girls lacrosse rules to her where, like, you can't touch her. Like, I don't understand what people want. Like, should there be some, like, golden, like, arc that you can't go near when she has the ball? Or it's crazy.
It is pretty annoying.
Right about the Red Sox, though. They just have to go, like, 6-6 the next couple of days. Like, August and September are not nearly as bad as people think they are. It's just the next, like, 2 weeks, and then it gets normal and not really that bad.
Yeah, you're right, John. And if the Red Sox are a good team, then they shouldn't be scared of the schedule. If they're as good as they've looked here over this last however long, then I think that they shouldn't really be looking at their schedule like, oh boy, we got this team and that team and that. Because when you do that, you're looking at it going, which one of these teams is going to unmask us as the frauds that we are? You know, that's why you worry about the schedule. We're not really this good. Once we start playing real teams, that's gonna all change. If you're good, if you really believe that you're as good as you've looked, and I believe that this team has all of the tools to be that good, by the way. They have all the tools and they've had them all year. All right. They're just now realizing it. And I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be able to continue this. But that's what it is. 617-779-7937. Matt's in Maynard. Go ahead, Matt.
I just want to make a comment about the people in Boston, frankly, caring about women's sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen.
No?
I mean, I can tell you right now from everybody that I know, nobody wants to watch women's basketball on TV, especially when there's literally any other game.
Okay, thanks for the call, man. There was literally no other game. There was the All-Star game last night, and I would guess that Caitlin Clark, I mean, that game did big numbers. People are watching women's sport. Like, I hate to put it to you like this, not to, you know, mansplain this to you here, Matt and Maynard, but people are watching women's sports. People are watching the WNBA. People are watching Caitlin Clark. She's doing big numbers. When she plays against Angel Reese, that does numbers. It does. She's sort of this one-man band right now. One-man band. One-woman band, I should say. And you develop it, and, you know, more players are going to, I think, emerge as stars. Maybe not to her level, but she's going to go up against these players, and other teams are going to win. Asia Wilson and Nafisa Collier and these other girls. Like, there's other great players in the league right now.
Numbers don't lie. The ratings, as you said, they're continuing. It's not like there was a spike and then it dropped. It's been consistently high rated.
It spiked and then, like, plateaued at the spike. So, like, that's where you are. You know, and the Garden was sold out. That was a place to be last night. Jaylen Brown was there. Like, I heard Jordan. Someone said Jordan was there. Like,
Georges Niang, his newest teammate.
George Niang was there. Oh, my God. Sitting courtside.
Lucas Giolito was courtside.
I mean, that was a hot spot. People are showing up. People are showing up to be seen at WNBA games. That's a fact. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, ESPN was talking about potential breakout stars in the NFL this upcoming season. We'll get to that, and we'll take your WNBA phone calls, Belichick phone calls, and Red Sox phone calls all throughout the show. Don't go anywhere. Drake May next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
And the number one player who will take the biggest leap in year number two is the quarterback up in New England, Mr. Drake May. Sophomore season for Drake May. Look for him to make a giant leap in the Josh McDaniels offense. Had a very good spring, despite some reports at a training camp that he threw some interceptions. Ignore that. He is the leader of this franchise already in his second year, and he now has Mike Vrabel as a head coach, Josh McDaniels as an offensive coordinator, and plenty of new weapons and offensive linemen to protect him. Patriots fans, I am very high on Drake May.
Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment, but that was Peter Schrager on ESPN. And while it's nice to hear national people saying nice things about Drake May and considering him a breakout star, and the rest of that list, the only other name I even recognized on the list as a breakout star this year was Michael Penix. He's like, Michael Penix, you'll know this name, and the number five is Drake May, and the first three were like three guys I didn't know who they were. One was like a fifth receiver on the Packers or something. I forget. I don't even remember what it was. But he gets to Drake May. And I was ready to hear, okay, this is why Drake May is going to be good. And he went through some of the Josh McDaniel in the offense. Mike Vrabel's the new coach. But then he's like, yeah, you may have heard that he was throwing a bunch of interceptions during camp, but just ignore that.
Ignore that.
What? Why would I ignore that? Isn't that kind of germane to what we're talking about here? And that's the problem, I think, with the Drake May discourse. Not to pick on Peter Schrager here, but You can't just ignore that.
Yeah, his list, by the way, I should point out, 5 was Jalen Hyatt from the Giants.
Jalen Hyatt, yeah, big breakout star.
Devontae Walker from the Ravens.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, neither do I. Calvin Austin III from Pittsburgh.
Okay, I think I've seen that name before.
Yeah, yeah, rising receiver. Then it was Michael Penix, then it was Drake May.
So it wasn't the most distinguished list of all time, but whatever. Anyway. I would
ignore that.
All right, I will. Thank you, Peter. But I think that just saying ignore that. He's throwing interceptions. That was sort of a problem for him last year, and he's still doing it now. But ignore that. I'm not going to ignore that, and you shouldn't ignore that either. If you want to have an honest conversation about Drake May and the expectations for him this year, then you shouldn't be ignoring things like interceptions. That was a problem for him last year. That was an issue. He made some bad decisions at the end of games. A couple of games ended on game-ending interceptions. So, I'm not going to ignore that. And I do think Josh McDaniels being here is going to be very, very helpful for him. I do. I think that is going to unlock parts of his game that Alex Van Pelt wasn't able to do, wasn't able to get close to. I believe that. Absolutely. But there's more to it than just, okay, here's a young quarterback in his second year. His first year was pretty good, but this year he's going to break out. You got to give me more than ignore the interceptions, Josh McDaniel, Mike Vrabel. I need more substance than that. That being said, I think Drake May absolutely could be a breakout star this year. Absolutely. Some would say that he was a bit of a breakout star in his rookie year. I wouldn't say that, but others would. Others have. He's the leader of this team in his second year. Right. Yeah, he's the quarterback. Give me a little something more here, Shriggs. Why is he going to break out? What's so special about him? What's he going to do? I think that for Drake May to be a breakout star this year, he's going to need to have, in the first 8 weeks of the season, there's going to have to be at least 2 signature games. And that could mean any number of things. That could mean a big fourth quarter comeback. That could mean a 400-yard, 4-touchdown type of game, that type of breakout game. He's going to have some signature games. That was one thing with Mac Jones in his rookie year. It was a good rookie year. They won 10 games. No real signature games that year for the quarterback. And that was okay because he was a rookie and he was a system guy and he was working in the system and it was all sort of going how it was going. But there were no real signature moments. And I think that, you realized eventually, all right, this guy's not going to give you any signature moments. Drake May hasn't really had that yet either. He almost did in that Titans game. They had that great touchdown, but then he threw the pick
flashes,
in overtime.
Flashes, I think, is a good word.
There's been flashes.
He's had flashes.
You need to have games like that, and you need to have multiple games like that. You can't just have one. That's enough to get a wide receiver paid like Juwan Jennings, but that's not enough to get a quarterback in his second year with big expectations this year. There's going to be big expectations for him. To match them, you will have to have some of those signature games, and there really weren't a lot of those for him last year. And that was in an offense that was pathetic. It was a pathetic offense last year. How much better is the offense this year than last year? Well, a lot of that depends on Drake May. How much better is he going to be? How much better is this whole operation going to look? But yeah, ESPN, Schrager saying breakout star, but don't dig too deep into it because
ignore that.
Just ignore all those negative things. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, yesterday I mentioned Jaylen Brown had some comments to Celtics blog, Noah Dazell. And we're going to go a little bit further into those, talk about what this team and this season with Jaylen Brown as the main guy is going to look like here for this Boston Celtics team. If you want to talk about Caitlin Clark, WNBA, any of that, the phone lines are open here, 617-779-7937. I saw a couple of callers jumping on for that, so go ahead and grab one. We'll get into the Celtics. Jaylen Brown and Dan Greenberg will join the show at 7:30. Don't go anywhere. It's the Christian Arcan Show, 7 o'clock hour, coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.